Good morning to everyone. It's a wonderful privilege to be able to stand before you. I'd like to start with a disclaimer. You may find it a little bit difficult understanding me, and it's because you guys have an accent. I always noticed it when I could come to Florida that you guys speak with an accent. Well, I am Tavaro Hanna once again. I'm from the Bahamas, specifically Grand Bahama Island is where I'm from. I'm here with my family, as Brother Spool mentioned, and I'm here to present to you what's going on in 8 Mile Rock, the congregation at 8 Mile Rock. All right. So first we'll start by talking about some of the things that we're doing to help the congregation to grow. And we believe that it's very, very vital for Christians to have the Word of God in them, to know it. And so we're doing a number of things to specifically encourage that. One of the things we do is we wake up 5:30 three mornings a week to do Bible studies. Now, that's pretty early in the morning. However, that was the time that was available to everyone. And so this time was chosen by the congregation. But the good thing is we do it on Zoom. And for some reason, no one wants to turn on their camera at 5:30 in the morning. I don't know why. But generally, it's supposed to be a 15-minute Bible study, but it takes about 15 minutes to half hour. In fact, I don't think we've ever done 15 minutes. It's always went over. And it means that we are accomplishing our mission to get people to love the Word of God. And so people are studying and they're falling in love with God's Word, and that's our mission. And we do that 3 times a week. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. In fact, we actually have a couple of visitors with us from the Freeport Church. They're returning from polishing the pulpit, and they're in the audience right now. Another thing that we're doing is what we call Battle Buddies. Battle Buddies is a split of the church. We split the church into 4 groups, and this is a good split. We split the church into 4 groups, and at their convenience, whenever they want to meet together to study, they come together and they study, and they do this on Zoom also. Some groups meet on Monday, or Wednesday, whatever day they choose to meet on. And it's a 15-minute Bible study. And so that's going well also. Another way that we're trying to put God's Word into people is memorizing Scripture. And we memorize many verses, short verses, but this year we've been challenged with trying to learn the whole book of James by memory. And that has been going really, really well so far. Most of our congregation can quote the whole first chapter of James. And it just shows that, if I can remember, I believe anyone can, because my memory is the worst in the world. And they're doing good, and I'm even doing good, so that should tell you, right? But that's going well, and we believe that putting the Word in our heart is really, really important. It's vital to the Christian. Another thing that we do, we encourage the congregation by supporting a couple in Jamaica, a preacher and his wife. The name is Duke Brown, and his wife is Maxine Brown, and we support them, and they give us reports on the work that they're doing there in Jamaica. Now, we are a small congregation, so our support isn't very big. It's really small, but it is consistent. And that, I think, is really important for our congregation. We have had a number of groups come to our island. Palm Beach Lakes was one of the groups that came. And one of them did VBS, and we did it at the local school in 8 Mile Rock. And this is one of the teachers with the teenagers at that school. And this particular group was from Central Moore, Oklahoma Church of Christ. And they did VBS with these children. And this is the actual group along with our congregation in this picture on a Sunday. I think that was a Sunday morning. We also had, as I mentioned, other groups come, Palm Beach Lakes being one of them. And what we did was we went door knocking and we handed out these invitations to invite people to our gospel meeting. And we set up a tent in someone's yard in the area where we live, the area I grew up in, and invited people. We just went out door knocking and invited people to come out, and it went really well. We enjoyed having Palm Beach Lakes with us. I was looking all night for pictures, and I could not find them. I wanted to put some pictures up of Palm Beach Lakes and Dalrader, because Dalrader from not Tennessee, from Alabama, was with us, and we took pictures. I just couldn't find them. But anyway, this is a picture of the invitation. That's the best I could do. We had a wonderful time with all the groups, and it was productive. The last thing we did in that same community, in front of a different house, was we had a Q&A. Where we went door knocking, just our congregation. We went out door knocking, and we asked people if they had any Bible questions. Do you have a Bible question that you would like for us to answer? Let us know, and come meet us at 6 o'clock under the tent, and we will give you a Bible answer for your question. And that went pretty good. This is the panel. Two of those people in that picture on that panel are in this room right now. Don't look back, but he's behind most of you. But this went pretty well. The people who live in this particular yard, they attended. And generally, we have people in the background kind of just listening. They don't really come under the tent, but we can see them in the background. And we heard them. We heard someone say that, you know, I'm listening. You know, I may not be under the tent, but I'm listening. And so that is wonderful to hear, and so we were happy about that. We have annual retreats. This particular retreat is what we call a church retreat, and the theme this year was Anchored in Christ. Anchored in Christ was the theme, and all our lessons were based on that particular topic. In fact, we even watched 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. At this particular retreat, and everything was based on all the paraphernalia was based on that topic. This is one of our classes being taught by one of the brothers, and this is, I think this is our Sunday morning, and this is a hotel that we were in. On the left, I think, is the Sunday morning. On the right is we've had a secular teacher come in. This is our second annual retreat, and we've had a secular person come in each time. The first time we had someone come and talk about natural health, the benefits of natural health. And so he came in and he spoke. This time we had a therapist come in, and she spoke on anger management. And it's amazing how much their what they believe is the way you deal with anger matches with Scripture. It's interesting, and it was really well received, and we enjoyed having her with us. This is our backdrop you may see in the background, where we took pictures. This is the group. This is most of the congregation who was at the retreat. A couple of people had to leave early for work, but this is most of them at the retreat. We had a wonderful time. Disaster. When we hear the name Dorian, we automatically think of one thing. And I believe you guys probably think of the same thing, being so close to us. Dorian was a really, really horrible storm. And you probably know that it ripped up the eastern part of our island and brought water in to the Freeport area, which is where the city is, our main city. And the surge was so high that this particular house was completely covered in water. The water came in about 5 miles into land, or even more in some cases. And it caused a lot of people items in their homes. A lot of people lost furniture and appliances and so on. But of course, the people in the East had it worse than the people in the Freeport area. A lot of people in the East lost their lives because they didn't leave the area as they were told. And the waters, in some cases, demolished certain homes. Some homes were completely leveled. And I'm talking about concrete homes, which tells us how powerful this storm was. This particular house is the home of a young lady, a member of the 8 Mile congregation, and she had about 2-3 feet of water, maybe a little bit more, in her home. We were able to replace her furniture and some other items that she had lost in the storm. And her parents were really impressed by the church, and I'm hoping that that kind of gives us a little door in to be able to reach them sometime in the future. This is a picture of a house that was completely leveled and just debris. The debris was left. We were able to go on the ground pretty early, before most people, because a member of the Freeport congregation received some items from a friend or a number of friends, and we were able to go out and hand those items out right away. And not long after that, the congregations in the United States sent money to Central so that we can purchase items to help some of the people who were in need at that time. And so we got to work quickly on that also. We were able to go out into the communities and provide people with portable stoves and food and water and other items pretty quickly also. And so that went really well, and we thank all the congregations who were part of supporting that and individuals also. In fact, we had a company. We asked the company the cost to purchase these 5-gallon jugs, and they decided to give us them. The only thing was the jugs were in Washington, D.C. The company was in Washington, D.C., and so we had to ship the items down. And the cost to ship it, if we had to pay for the jugs and ship, we would not have gotten them because it would have been too much money. But they gave the jugs to us free, and we were able to ship them down, and then Palm Beach Lakes paid for them to come to the island. So it made it really, really good for us. And so we were able to go out with these jugs. The reason why I'm highlighting these is because technically speaking, we had a lot of competition. I mean, there were a lot of denominations and groups out there doing the same thing we were doing. And there were two things, I believe, that set us apart a little bit. One was those green T-shirts with our name on the front. No one else really had, very few people had uniforms or T-shirts. We had our uniform that we tried to wear every single time we went out. So those kind of set us apart, along with these jugs. They have our label on them, and we were the only ones doing it, and everyone needed them. And we had a lot of them, a 40-foot trailer full. And so these jugs kind of set us apart, and we put the Church of Christ name on it, 8 Mile Rock, and our phone number, our email, and we also put a little scripture and our radio program name and time that comes on every Sunday. So that was good, and the good thing is we still see them floating around even now, these jugs with the labels. People are still using them to fill up at the water stations, so that's going well. We're happy about that, and we think that is one of the things that kind of set us apart. So when we go door knocking again, people remember that it was us that brought the 5-gallon jugs and not mistake us for any denomination. This was one day we went out, some of us went out. This is a really hard-working congregation. They work really hard. Small, but powerful, because most people work whenever we go out, and that makes us a really powerful little congregation. And I hope we can continue to maintain that kind of desire to do God's work. These are some of the people we met as we went out and handing out the items. It was wonderful to meet these people. Some of the stories, though, were really sad. I mean, one of the worst stories we heard was of someone in the East who watched his neighbors just get swept away by the ocean. It was a really sad story, and of course, he detailed it. This is another group of people that we met, a family. We've planted seeds, of course. We started 4 years ago. We lost 2020, like many congregations, because of what was going on in the world. But we planted seeds, and we did have a number of baptisms. Sadly, though, everyone in this picture no longer walks with us. What's encouraging is everyone didn't leave. These particular people stayed, and we're happy about them, that they decided to stay, and it's very encouraging. We lost roughly just under half of the people that we converted or restored, which I guess makes sense when we think about Matthew chapter 4, Jesus talking about the seeds and how they fell by the wayside, and some grew and some didn't. But notice, most didn't grow. Most of them did not grow. And so that tells us what to expect when we go out planting seeds. Most people won't accept, and even if they do, not all of them will stay. And that's just how it is. But we are thankful that those who stayed are still there. In fact, we went to polishing the pulpit last week, and more than half of our congregation went. We have about 17 people in our congregation, and about 12 of us were there, not counting the children, which was really, really good and encouraging, not only for me, but for everyone else that was able to make it. The men of the congregation, to the far left, is Mario Smith. And he originally was a member of the Freeport congregation, but he was delinquent at that time. And Mario has grown tremendously since becoming a part of the 8 Mile Rock congregation. And he's there because he lives in the 8 Mile Rock community, and it's more convenient for him to attend the 8 Mile Rock congregation. But besides the fact that I called him out, it was difficult for him to say, no, I can't make it, being right in the community, right? But Mario has grown tremendously. Mario is preaching and teaching classes now and doing everything, something that I don't think he would have dreamed of before. But he has turned his life around, rededicated it, and he's working. He's doing really well. I'm proud of him. The brother on the right is Chad Neely, and he is the brother that I mentioned 4 years ago when I came here and told y'all I wanted to start the work in the Bahamas. I told y'all that he was the one that would be helping me. The only thing is, he didn't know that. And one day we had a conversation. He asked me, how am I going to do all this work? And he said, that sounds like a lot of work. I said, you're going to help me. And he was surprised by that, but he's been working ever since, and he's doing really, really well, preaching and doing the same things. And so I'm proud of both of them, and I'm also proud of that little boy in the picture. He's going to be a preacher also. The women of the congregation. This is a picture of most of them, and then this picture has the balance in it. So who's missing from that one would be in here, and who's missing from this would be in there. But these are the women of the congregation. What's interesting is we have more women than men. I mean, we are quite outnumbered, and so we need to do something about that. I'm hoping that we can fix that. The ladies have a ladies' class year-round. They don't take breaks or anything. One of the things they did was they personalized an invitation for just one friend. And the class that night was specifically geared towards winning someone's soul. And so they taught based on that principle. And as a result of that, they had one person eventually become a Christian. And that's the person that you see at the bottom there of that picture. And so we were happy about that, and they plan to do that once again in the future. Some of the things that we're doing in the community, we have a clothing drive that we do consistently, and that has been used to try to get Bible studies with individuals, and so we're hoping that that continues to go, and we're able to use that to win some souls. We also have a farm. One of the children decided that the name of the farm should be Papa Dilly's, and the reason why is because when we got to the property, we met Sapa Dilly's, which is a fruit. I don't know if you're familiar with it here in Florida, but in the Bahamas, we have Sapa Dilly's, and they're really, really good. I can't compare it to anything that you may know. I don't know of anything that tastes like it. It's kind of different, but it's really good and it's sweet. But we met Sapa Dilly trees on the property, and we also met papaya on the property. And so the child decided it should be Papa Dilly's, Papaya Dilly's. And so that's the name we've been going with. We're happy about that name. We also met mango trees on the property. This is a work day, or maybe this is a couple of work days put together of us working in the garden at the farm. Prayer and fellowship. We have a prayer meeting once a month, and we also have what we call a fellowship once a month, which is kind of like a games night where we come together and have fun. This particular night, we were playing Monopoly. We played probably for about 100 hours, and the game is still not over. We still didn't come to an end. But we enjoy our games night and also our prayer meeting. Moving. The building that we are in at the moment is inadequate for a number of reasons, but the greatest one is the fact that there's a bar two doors down from us. And at nighttime, that becomes a problem. And so we definitely have to move for that reason and others. And so we are planning on moving into this building. This building is owned by a member of the congregation, and it's a four rental unit building, and it's in the process of being built. This is us on the roof helping with the work. Now, what we did was this brother was building out of his pocket slowly, and to get the building going faster, the church loaned him monies to get the building moving. And what we're going to do is we're going to move in the building, and we won't have to pay rent for about 2.5 years. And so it works out not only for him, but it works out for us so that we can get out of where we are and move into here. The great thing about this building is its location. It's located smack dab in the middle of a community where I grew up. And these are the people that we're trying to reach. This is the place where we go and have the gospel meetings. And so we are right there now whenever we move. And we're hoping to move in this building within the next 2 to 3 months, before the year's up, at least. And so that's going well. The roof is on now, and the building is moving. This is the back of it, the rear. And this is what it looks like in the front to date. And so we're hoping to move in as soon as possible. We also have an annual marriage retreat, and that has been going well also. The gentleman in the black shirt sitting in the couch is not a member of the church, but his wife is. And we're hoping that we can win him. We invite him to these kinds of things. We want another brother in this way. His wife is a member of the church, and he came to the marriage retreat, and he really enjoyed it, and we ended up getting a Bible study, and he eventually became a Christian. And so we're hoping we can replay that with this gentleman here. A chance of a lifetime. I've had what I call the chance of a lifetime. My wife and my family and I went to Nassau, New Providence Island. And we went there to meet some friends from the United States and spend some time with them. Well, my wife has a cousin that owns a church, and I literally mean own a church, and he owns it with his wife. He found out that I am a preacher, and so he told my wife, I want him to preach. Would he be willing to preach for us? And she asked me, she said, she told him she didn't know, and so she asked me, and at first I said, you know what, let me take the full 5 minutes and think about this. So I answered them the following day. I thought about it, I prayed about it, and then I told them yes. And it was an interesting experience. My mother became a Christian when I was 2 years old, so I don't really have experience with denominations except for funerals and weddings. And I'm always intrigued by what I see. I'm sometimes dumbfounded by what I see. It's just so interesting, some of the things they do. I got to this place, and that is a picture of me sitting there on the stage, and those are women in the front leading. Well, they're kind of entertaining. They're singing really, 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 really loud. And the music is even louder because you can hardly hear the words. You can hardly understand the words they are saying. And it is so loud in there, I'm wondering if when I get out of this building, if I'll be able to hear. If you could hear this picture, you would understand. And I think they really think God is so far, he can't hear them, so they have to turn everything up as loud as they possibly can. I don't know, but that's my thought. But I'm sitting and waiting to preach, and this the owner of the church, the two owners, the husband and wife, first of all, they are known by their congregation as the apostle, that's the husband, and the wife, get this, she is the master prophet. I've never heard that before, but that means she's the prophet of prophets, I guess. But anyway, they come in about an hour and a half late with an entourage. Like, they just come walking up the aisles with everyone. And then he sits in his throne. If you look in that picture, you may be able to see two thrones. I call them thrones. Right in the middle of the stage. And they sit there. That's their seat. They sing for another maybe half hour or so. And then it's my turn to preach. Well, before I go up, this gentleman comes and he starts taking my computer and my Bible, and I'm kind of wondering what he's doing. I'm kind of fighting, you know, what are you doing? Apparently, I was assigned an armor bearer, is what they call them. And he's responsible for taking the preachers, the prophet and the master prophet and the apostles' Bibles and whatever they're carrying. They don't carry anything. And so he comes and he takes my computer and my Bible and he puts it on the pulpit for me. And I couldn't wait to get back to the Edmara congregation to tell them. that was interesting to me. But I preached that night. I was wise enough to know what not to do, because there's a lot of things I could tell them. But I preached about the importance of the word, and how important it is to study for yourself and not listen to a prophet, an apostle, or anyone else. What was interesting is my greatest fear was that they would play music while I'm preaching, because that's what they do. They embellish the sermons, you know, when they get to their high points. Oh, yeah, the music is going. And I forgot to tell them, you know, I don't really want you to do that. Could you not do that? Well, I didn't need to tell them that, because everyone was just zoned right in. Because I don't think they ever heard the word preached. And what was my mission was to move myself out of the way and point to the Bible. And I believe I accomplished that. And you could hear a pin drop on the carpet while I was preaching. It was so quiet. The drummers, the cowbell shakers, the pianists, the whistleblowers, and everyone else who were at the right of me, they were like this. Some of them were like looking through their phones and finding the verses. Others were flipping through the pages. And I was so happy about that. I was very happy. And what made me most happy was the fact that afterwards people came to me and said, man, you gave me something to think about. And those were the kind of comments I received, and I was happy about that. They tried to pay me for preaching, but I told them that I won't accept it. Just anytime I'm in town, I'd be glad to preach if they would have me again. And I have this sneaky suspicion that they may not want me to come back. And it's mostly because of the master prophet. She stood up at the end and she did a little bit of damage control. And so I have a feeling I won't be invited back. But I had an opportunity, and I pointed the Bible and told them, basically, study your Bible for yourself. I spent a little bit too much time on that. Marriage counseling. I started marriage counseling within the last 2 years, and that is going well. And I'm hoping that that I can reach some people outside the church with that. And it's going well so far. I'm dealing with some people outside and inside the church, and I'm hoping that we can all grow from that experience. Future plans. The ladies' class reached out to a local school in the 8 Mile community. And what they want to do is they want to reach some of their, not necessarily orphans per se, children that have lost parents but probably live with grandparents or some family member. They want to be able to reach out to them, and the school says they probably have about 5 or less, which is what the ladies' class was hoping. That's why they were so specific, because they want to start small. But they want to have lunch with these children and provide them with some of the things they may need and introduce them to God's Word and invite them to service, that kind of thing. And so when we return, the school is going to give us a list of the names and contact information for that particular thing. We also are planning what we call Family Lifeboat, and this is going to be a 6-week program where we have husbands and wives come and spend some hours with us. We will have lunch together, but our mission is to teach them from God's Word about marriage. Also, we want to use that as an opportunity to teach them the truth. And so we're hoping that be successful, and we're looking forward to that. We also are planning polishing the pulpit spark for next year, May. And so we're hoping that we can get that off the ground, and we want to invite you guys to come and be a part of that if you are able. We also plan to start a live radio show, a family show, a show about marriage and the family, that people can call in and ask questions and get answers on specific things. I already spoke with the radio program that we work with, and we're hoping to be able to start that in the not too distant future. We always encourage congregations to come, and you guys came, and we want you to come back. We enjoyed having you, and we hope that you are able to come back and be a part of the work in 8 Mile Rock. One of the things I tell people is the Bahamas has 300,000, just over 300,000 people. And I believe your military has far more people than our country. Well, what's good is your church, the church here in the United States, is bigger than our country. Imagine if every single sound congregation sent a group to the Bahamas every month or so, which could happen. And it could happen with congregations doing that every other year because the church here is so big. The church in the United States could take our whole country in a couple years. I mean, easily. And so that would be something that would be grand. The way things are going, the church would have a place to run if things went haywire, right? But if you think about it, you could take a country, a whole country. Everyone in this country could know, at least know, the truth. It's a small country, and I want to encourage you to think about that, and we want to encourage you to come down and be a part of the work in the Bahamas. Any questions? My family. My family is my wife and my five children. And he asked if there were six, and everything in me tingled when he said that. The shop is closed. There will be no more children. Five is more than enough. we finally had our son. He is 18 months. His name is Honor. Honor. We spell it the British way. H-O-N-O-U-R. Our child, just before him, is Faithfully, and just before Faithfully is Providence, and just before Providence is Legacy, and then we have our Genesis, our beginning. We, like I said, have come to our end with Honor. But my wife is Shamika. She is, I call her Ali for her middle name. Her middle name is Alyssa, and I prefer to call her Ali, and so that's what I call her. And you have my permission to call her Ali if you want to also. We have been in the United States for about six weeks, somewhere along there. And most of our trips, it seems, was on the road in our rental. So imagine the fun we have every time we have to drive a few hours with a 18-month-old. He's been doing pretty good, and he lets us know when it's time to stop. He turns on the siren, and so we stop. it's been really good. We've been to a number of congregations. From here, we have to go back to Georgia, and then we return home. We enjoyed presenting to the congregation and spending time with brethren. We've been praying for this for years. In fact, Legacy, she's been praying to go to PTP for 4 years from we return home. She's been literally, when I preach, she would get up and tell me to pray that we get to go to PTP again, and not only us, but that the congregation gets to go. And her prayers pretty much came true, because all but five people from our congregation attended PTP this year. So we enjoyed the experience. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Darrell, you had two slides which mentioned twice the radio program. How did that get started? Was that something that you initiated, searching out, or was that something that they offered to you, or how did that get started?
The radio program was something that I wanted to do before we even went home. Because I know that people still listen to radio back home. And so that was something that I always wanted to do. And so we reached out to them, and they gave us a good rate. And so it's going pretty good. And people tell us about our radio program. They're listening. So we're happy about that. Yes, sir. Any other questions? You guys have been good. Thank you.